Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You listen to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Lee and Austin share the same mom and dad, but from the outset of Sam Shepard's acclaimed play, True West, it seems that genetics is just about all these brothers have in common. Austin, played with tight-lipped intensity by Paul Dano. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Is an Ivy League-educated, aspiring screenwriter who has settled down with a wife and kids and white kids. By contrast, his older brother Lee, a hilarious and menacing Ethan Hawke. Hi, Ethan.
Hi there.
He's a braggadocious drifter, just back from a stint in the desert, a loud mess of a guy with no shortage of stories to tell or beers he can polish off. The two brothers are back under the same roof after many years apart, house-sitting for their mom. Dun, she's off on a trip in Alaska. The audience can sense from early on that this will not be a gentle family reunion. But though the brothers may seem diametrically opposed, they spend time together, the harder it becomes to tell where Austin stops and Lee begins. And when Lee gets the offer of a lifetime, the offer that Austin has been waiting for and working for, the brothers' attempts to write a screenplay about the Wild West descend quickly into chaos. The revival of True West is running at the American Airlines Theater on Broadway until March 17th, and Paul Dano and Ethan Hawke are in studio. Hi, guys.
Wow, you made that sound so good. I like the way you narrated that.
Thank you. I like the way you acted in that play, boys.
Thanks.
So you've said this many times, but I want to hear from you now. True West is a play that made you want to be an actor. What is it about this particular play?
It is true. I think every young person has an experience, and some people have it with a political awakening. Some people, you often hear about it with the Beatles, or the first time I heard Muddy Waters play, I knew like something was different. You feel a certain call from a world outside your parents, but it makes sense. And I was 14. I had seen Sam Shepard in The Right Stuff that summer. And if you see The Right Stuff, he's about the coolest damn guy in the world. So it's to a 14-year-old.
Hanging out in Jersey, you're like,
I want to be that dude. But my aunt, who was living with me at the time, because she was barely older than me, she was going to college at Rutgers. She was like, hey, that guy's actually a great playwright. And they're going to show it on PBS tonight. So we stayed up and watched it. And I remember just lying in bed, just thinking, what was? I'd never seen anything like that. And the combination, I think, of discovering John Malkovich, who was one of the most unique, incredible, incendiary performers, with what was happening at Steppenwolf. You know, Steppenwolf is the only theater company of my era that was really pushing theater forward and making it extremely relevant. You know, they were kind of doing what Cassavetes and Scorsese were doing for film. They were doing in theater, making, you know, he wanted blood and sweat on the stage. He wanted it to be real. I mean, so that's Gary Sinise I'm talking about, who directed that show. And then the writing. And the writing just, it was so, I couldn't stop thinking about it and remembering lines from it. And so I started buying Shepard's plays. And it just kind of became true north in my life as I've started chasing after movies. And, you know, I later saw Paris, Texas, which is a cinema equivalent. It's just, it's a masterpiece. And it speaks to so many of the themes of my life. So his work just really resonated with me.
My guests are Ethan Hawke and Paul Dano. Paul, so you're new to True West. Mm. You came into this guy, it's part of his DNA, it's part of his soul. This is brand new to you. With fresh eyes, what did you see in this play?
The first thing I saw was probably fear, or trepidation, a healthy one. And I think some of the first things that Ethan and I talked about, we've been friends for some time, we've worked together, was, how do we approach this, as if it hasn't been done before? How do we approach it from the ground up? How do we approach it honestly? Because coming at it from my point of view, there's so much expectation that comes with Sam Shepard's work, I think, for a male actor. And so just how do we start from nothing? And that felt like a really scary and fun challenge. But I think the writing is absolutely beautiful. It's incredibly psychically deep. I find it very unnerving, destabilizing, moving, funny, entertaining, And it continues to get under my skin after 50 plus performances, you know, which is really a testament to the words themselves. And then, of course, you know, getting to work with Ethan in this capacity and our director, James McDonald, who I think is a really, really wonderful director. You know, I really feel very lucky to be here.
Well, you can hear just by the way Paul is talking why it would be so exciting to me, because I was the negative version of all the things I was just saying to you is just a ton of baggage, you know, and Paul wanted to start from a no place, from zero, and looking at it like a brand new poem. And James McDonald is British. He comes from more of a Beckett tradition, and Sarah Kane, Carol Churchill, those are some of his favorite playwrights. And he comes at it with a very, very intelligent, with none of the baggage of Americana machismo that often gets stapled to Sam because of the iconography of that headshot on his books, you know?
Oh, yeah,
but to see, the thing about Sam is, his writing is, it's wickedly funny. And you see a bad production, which Paul was rightfully scared of, is you see a lot of actors spitting and screaming at each other and throwing things.
Actually, acting.
Yeah. And, you know, Sam was allergic to that, actually. He hated that. He wanted the shows to be more like a punk rock show where meaning you don't know what's going to happen next, but he hated, quote-unquote, acting. Like, and so I think we were kind of a good combination.
Yeah. You're both writers. Last time we talked to you, it was for Wildlife, your film. You've written books. And it's writing a screenplay that is the spark that ignites all the fireworks in this play. Coming to this as writers, what was it about this story? I mean, why does writing become this thing between these two guys? I mean, they have other things, but why is it writing that sets it off?
Well, first of all, lots of people write, and every now and then someone has a voice. And Sam Shepard has a voice, which means it's like Miles Davis playing the trumpet. Why does it sound different than other people playing the trumpet? I don't know why, but it does. And I think that writing, why he chose to write about writing inside the family landscape, is because if you really try to express yourself, you sincerely, you run up against all the big things. Why am I born? Why do I have to die? Who are my parents? What do I have to say? Mm-hmm. What does the universe mean to me? Who is my brother? And it's all vital, because one of the things I quickly learned the first time I got reviewed as a writer is how much it hurts. It's different than getting a bad review as an actor. And in the play, you know, Paul makes fun of my writing, and it's amazing how much it stings, because when you really write something and you say, this is me, this is my soul, this is my secret thoughts, and somebody goes, oh, that's so cliche. It's like,
it's the worst.
It is? And you're like, oh, worst. You mean my pain about my father's cliche? No, it doesn't feel cliche. Well, then you're not explaining it well, you know, or whatever the hell people say.
But I love that that's the voice of the guy.
I think they're also, one thing that I like is that they're both sort of writing for their life, which I think we often do. We funnel what we have into something, hoping it will help us or save us. Both of our characters say at one point, I've got everything riding on this in some capacity. We each say that.
Almost exact same line.
And what I love is that Sam never says why. You could think that it's something practical, but I don't think it is. I think it's a very...
Yeah, I think he doesn't say why for a reason, because we all feel that way. You feel like if your radio show tanks somehow, you will have failed. If my performance tanks, I failed. Not the performance, I did. And it's if you're writing something with any serious integrity, you feel like your life depends on it. But Dylan even says that about a song. It's a strange thing that has to happen to you. You hypnotize yourself into actually thinking that it matters. Like, you have to believe while you're writing the song that maybe this song is going to make the world a different place. And then, of course, you finish it and you're like, all right, it's just another song. But if you don't believe that, then you're not sincerely engaged in trying to connect to something deeper than your own identity. You're trying to plug into the cosmos, right?
My guests are Ethan Hawke and Paul Dano. We're going to continue to talk about True West, the production on Broadway, after a quick break.
WNYC is supported by the Gemological Institute of America, hosting a jewelry career fair with gem and jewelry industry professionals and recruiters from nearly 40 companies, March 8th at the Javits Center. More at careerfair.gia.edu. NYU Skirball, presenting National Theatre of Scotland's production of Adam, the true story of a young trans man's fight across borders and genders to find a place to call home. Now through February 16th, nyuskirball.org. Your part-time controller, helping nonprofit organizations with all of their accounting and financial reporting needs. Your part-time controller, the nonprofit accounting specialists. More at yourparttimecontroller.com.
On the next Brian Lehrer Show, it's our Friday Ask the Mayor segment. My questions and yours from Mayor Bill de Blasio about Amazon canceling its plan for Queens and more. We'll also get reaction from Brooklyn and Queens Congressman Hakeem Jeffries and talk to him as a member of the House Judiciary Committee about the developments this week in the Trump investigations and the government shutdown talks. The Brian Lehrer Show at 10 a.m. on WNYC.
If you believe democracy requires a free press, your station is WNYC, 93.9 FM and AM 820, NPR News and the New York Conversation.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. My guests are Paul Dano and Ethan Hawke. They are starring in True West, which is running at the American Airlines Theater until March 17th. So There are some fight scenes in this show that are really athletic and kind of rigorous. You know, at one point I thought, is Ethan coming out of this alive? You know, that really it really is that intense. Can you tell us a little bit about the choreography behind that and what it's like to do that every night?
Can I start?
Yeah.
I think part of why Paul and I are so mentally and physically drained from this experience has to do with, I realize, I'm like, why is this play so hard to do? Because everybody keeps coming up to me afterwards, it looks like you guys are having the time of your life. I get emails, I'm like, well, I'm glad that it looks that way. Part of it has to do with, I'm either insulting Paul or being insulted for 2 hours. And if you actually internalize that, meaning like, okay, I want to make him feel bad, or I'm being made feel bad. And it builds. The play's only 9 scenes. It's a quick play. It moves fast. It's a lot shorter than some of the other plays I've done. Why is this so exhausting? Because it leads to this fight. From the second I step on stage and Paul and I engage each other, they're gearing up to fight. And it's almost coming and almost coming and almost coming. And then it comes. And like a sneeze, it's got to come hard. And it is, we are covered in bruises.
Yeah. I can imagine.
And it's, you know, all the things, the big things we're prepared for. I am going to live. Might I lose an eye? Yeah. I mean, am I going to break my hand? Is my foot killing me? Do I think I have 2 broken ribs? Yes. We have up on the wall behind the theater this person was interviewing Shepard, and they said, Mr. Shepard, how do contemporary influences impact your work? Or, you know, what contemporary influences? And his answer is, have you ever been to the rodeo? And I like looking at that because it reminds me that some part of our playwright is asking us to ride a bull.
For you, what are those scenes like, Paul?
Well, they're starting to become more wild, actually, the more comfortable we get. You know, I almost don't like talking about it this way because what we want to give the audience is something that doesn't feel safe.
It doesn't feel safe.
Okay,
don't,
good.
Don't worry. You're accomplishing
that.
You know,
we have to do this 8 shows a week. It does get under our skin. And we're also not just coworkers, but friends outside of the rodeo. So, it's a challenge to be safe and to let it go. Last night, Ethan almost got smacked with a pretty heavy candle stick, right? You know, I mean, it's it it It's hard.
I mean, it's if you have a brother or sister or a best friend and you ever play fight, usually play fights end with somebody getting hurt.
Somebody crying.
Yeah. And like the other day, I realized like a feeling I hadn't had for a long time. Over the last few weeks, I've been really enjoying playfully kicking Paul in the ass constantly throughout the show. And one time I kicked him in the ass and he just turned around and just kicked me right back really hard. And I realized somehow I guess they've been getting harder until finally he just let me know like this little bit is over.
I felt so bad too. I think it just hurt. I think it just had a bruise or something. But I was like, okay,
this but is. It's your body does it. Your body takes over, right? Oh, he hurt me. And that's the thing about violence. And it's all over Sam's plays about where the unconscious gets tapped. And sadly, part of the legacy of the American male in the kind of white, you know, he's talked about this and the sin of the way that the land was taken, the sin in the way that the land was nurtured, the lie of America. It has a huge sin underneath it. And that sin is pulsating and vibrating in the crime of manifest destiny, right? And if we're making a play called True West, what happens to all this energy that is destructive and that wants to conquer? And what happens when the unconscious that's driving us, you know, doesn't have a positive outlet? Right, you know, and so this violence is seething underneath it, and every now and then it happens to us as actors spontaneously, the way it happens to the characters. Everybody wants to be nice, right? But sometimes what we want, if we're not getting what we want, the desire to be kind gets dissipated.
It's interesting about the kick, because I thought about you playing this role, Paul, and it's such a slow burn. It's such a blur. You come out like a firecracker, right, Ethan. But your character, Austin, is really just simmering. How do you get the audience to understand what's going on with Austin? What's going on underneath?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Austin is trying desperately not to be his father. The way that Sam Shepard did not want to be his father. And so he is repressing all of his Lee energy and the energy Lee is throwing at him and internalizing it, repressing it, and it's just sort of building up. And so as an actor, how that manifests itself on stage is through the physicality, through the way you stand, right? The way you talk, the way you interact with your props, everything. So I'm not exactly sure, except it's the character and the play that we've built, hopefully. You get that, and then it, you know, what happens to somebody who doesn't allow himself to be angry, to express his rage when he suddenly has no choice but to.
One of the things that's really a drag about American theater versus, like, I've done some plays around the world and I've met people now from all over the world, and we don't have a lot of time to rehearse. And it puts a lot of pressure on the development of us, because one of the joys of this play has been unlocking it as the run is going on.
I know somebody who saw it in previews and has seen it recently and says that it has changed and it has really grown.
We feel that way. I'm glad to hear your friend think that. It's those little nuances about how to let the audience know Austin's simmering. Well, it comes through repetition of going, okay, I've watched you do this. How can you bring some of who Austin is in scene 9 into scene 1, maybe 2? If you do it too much, there's no story. Because that's how Paul unveils, you know, it's like we're my light is diminishing and his is increasing, right, throughout the play, you know. And we have to do that gracefully without you seeing it, but feel it in your gut in a way that's true. And the play is strangely changing. The play, not just the characters, the play starts like your basic Eugene O'Neill brother play or something, some Arthur Miller thing you might have seen before. And by the end, it's totally Beckett absurdist theater, right? So it does that slowly too. So for us to explore this, the run has been very valuable. And I was, I think had we had 6 weeks of rehearsal, probably the first couple previews would have been a lot better. You know, the DNA is the same, the casting's the same, the set's the same, you know, but the nuance of how to shade, how to make it, turn it from a sketch to an oil painting, you know? Yeah.
So I have to ask, you are having an amazing year, Ethan. So the New York Times said this might be your best stage performance. Your movie, everybody's saying some of the best work of your career. What's going on with you, First Reformed? What's going on with you this year? Or in this past couple of years? What do you think?
I think that if my advice to younger people is that if if you're serious about a life in the arts, right, then you have to be willing to fail. And you have, nothing is going on with me that wasn't going on with me 20 years ago. It's all the same. Shepherd has a great line about, we move in circles. Our whole life is one exercise, most of us, you know, these circles of hopefully growing in depth, right? But I remember my first movie, I got to direct Kris Kristofferson, you know, and everybody hated this movie and made fun of me, like I was pretentious. And Chris said, don't worry, just get old, dude. It'll take care of itself. Keep being who you are and just get old. Take care of yourself. And your aim is true. And he said, you know, all my albums that got bad reviews are all in retrospective now. It's like, it's great. They used to hate me, you know? All you have to be is not good looking anymore, and they'll like you.
Just get old, man.
Just get old. What I mean to say is, I have no idea.
My guests have been Ethan Hawke and Paul Dano. They are starring in True West, running at the American Airlines Theater until March 17th. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks.
You've been listening to all of it on WNYC. I'll see you back next time.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.